I'm Demela Roberts, stage and studio on Arts Watch. Race Forward and Americans for the Arts selected 14 projects nationwide to anchor their inaugural Cultural Week of Action. One of the projects selected was Vanport Mosaic's Coming Home. Led by Chisao Hata, artist, activist, and community weaver, Coming Home will be a week of memory activism events about Portland's historic Old Town. The project will highlight both Japanese and Chinese community groups, as well as Oregon Black pioneers in Old Town's history. And it will hopefully create awareness and support for the social challenges it now faces. For a full schedule of events happening September 25th through October 5th, visit vanportmosaic.org. With me to talk about the Coming Home project is the director of the project, Chisao Hata, and with her is Roberta Wong, an artist with a long family history in Old Town. Welcome both to Stage and Studio on Arts Watch, Roberta and Chisao.
Thank you so much, Dimei.
Before we talk about the week of events, would you both tell me a little bit about your personal history with Old Town? Do you want to start, Chisao?
Well, my mother was born in Hood River, Oregon, which was a city and is a city that fed quite a bit into Portland, particularly the farmers, the orchardists in Hood River, which my family had a background in. And my mother was brought to Old Town by my grandfather to find out the ways that she could become a nurse. So it kind of goes back to there. So if my grandfather hadn't have brought her to Nihonmachi, Japantown, and found the resources for her to become a nurse, she might not have been one of the first nurses in Oregon in 1939.
I always love hearing about this history and connections to Old Town, which a lot of people don't really know about. You know, they don't really know the history. Roberta, your family had a restaurant for a long, long time. Can you talk a little bit about that as well as your connection?
Well, our origins began back in 1930. My grandfather was here in the 20s. He, by 1930, became his own proprietor and operated a grocery store. And that grocery store grew into a coffee shop under my father and carried on with my brother opening the Tuck Lung restaurant and grocery. That building still stands today. So I've grown up in Chinatown since I was 9 years old, walking the neighborhood and knowing the people through those decades. And just recently returned when the Portland Chinatown Museum came into existence in 2018.
Well, I want to talk about Chinatown, the old Chinatown, and Nihonmachi. How much area did that cover? Because right now, you know, we're seeing it's a few blocks. But Roberta, you want to talk about, you know, how big did the Chinatown portion become?
Well, back at the turn of the century, the population was the highest and the second to San Francisco with the advent of a lot of social challenges with smaller communities getting forced out of their place. They came to Portland for refuge and for community. And since then, it's gone through various transformations. Again, after World War II, with so many of the Chinese veterans returning, they were given citizenship. And at that point, it changed their opportunities. They became able to buy property. They moved out of Chinatown and they started their families in within the different quadrants of the city. But there were still strong businesses in the area through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, even through the 90s. It was probably post-2000 when the community really became challenged with a lot of the development that was occurring. The light rail impacted businesses being able to have customers come to the area, as well as, again, loss of buildings. I think that was the challenge that we see today, that we're not the same Chinatown we were. There's not the population that lived there, thankfully, because they don't have the restrictions that kept them there. And so it's a positive thing. But at the same time, businesses have grown. A lot of the older merchants have passed on and their families have chosen not to continue in those businesses because they have college educations now. There's no need for them to be limited by their occupation. At this point, the newer waves of immigrant are coming with different economic ability to have different lives than our ancestors did here.
Well, I remember as a child coming to Portland every other month from the Eugene area, outside the Eugene area where we lived, to get our big bags of rice and tofu and vegetables that we might need because they weren't available in our area. And it seemed like, you know, it was even, you know, in that time period, it was a very lively area with businesses and restaurants and, you know, something that I remember actually as a fun day to spend there. Chisao Nihonmachi actually took like a big brunt during World War II. There was a big shakeup. Can you describe like how big it was and how thriving it was and then what happened to it?
So Japanese pioneers came in the late 1800s. My grandmother was one of 40,000 picture brides because women were not allowed to come to America unless they were married. So she was one of those picture brides coming to Oregon and landing in Nihonmachi or Japantown. And at the time on the West Coast, prior to World War II, there were 41 Nihonmachis along the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, and California. Portland's Nihonmachi had over 300 businesses. Many of the people lived there because of the covenant laws that restricted where they could live. There was about a 10-block radius that occupied what was then Nihonmachi. And Chinatown spread not only in that area, but farther northwest, so around where the MoMA Athletic Club is. And also Japantown spread further to the south toward the Keller Auditorium and past Burnside. So it was a very large, you could almost say you had two Nihonmachis and two Chinatowns at one point in Portland.
Well, we did actually, because they were they had to be moved during the Lewis and Clark Exposition, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a long history of being pushed out, frankly, right?
So I think the most devastating thing in terms of Japanese community is the Executive Order 9066, which pretty much locked down, locked out, froze bank accounts, took away property, confiscated homes. The loss was very deep and very wide, and this was happening not just to Japanese, but American citizens. So I think that's where this issue and this project is so important to know and realize for people to understand that this is not just a Japanese issue or a Chinese issue or Chinese-Japanese-American issue, but an American issue. Because this is one of the times where definitely every single Bill of Rights was violated towards its American citizens. So I think that's what we want to remember. And the continued cultural erasure of the area only represents the historic arc that we've all faced in many communities of color across America. So I think that's one reason why our project Coming Home was really listed as one of the top 14 in the country, because we were looking at these issues of cultural erasure, of racism in our cities, of how development progresses or does not progress, and who's making those choices.
Well, it wasn't just listed. It was selected, Giselle, and that's a huge honor nationwide. Where did this idea of coming home, you know, how did you develop that?
Well, you know, I've been working down in Old Town for a while now with the Japanese American Museum of Oregon. I was developing a program down there for several years and working with a team before we had an executive director appointed. And it was really clear with the kind of work that we had to do just to exist that the cultural institutions of the area, the Portland Chinatown Museum, Lan Tzu, the Jewish Museum, the Japanese American Museum, the other Chinese organizations were not a priority in the city's priorities. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been really affected as much as it has been with the social services. And again, it's not that our communities are against social services, but in the light of COVID and the pandemic and everything else that has happened, some choices have been made that make it really clear that our cultural organizations, our cultural institutions are not a priority for the city of Portland.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's pretty apparent, you know, with just the lack of funding, for one thing. So what are some of the events to attend? And I assume these are all free to the public.
Oh, everything's free to the public. So thanks to Race Forward, the organization and Americans for the Arts that has funded this project, we have a full week, and it's actually, we're recognizing September 28th through October 5th. So beginning the weekend of September 28th, we'll have several events that are happening. So around 11 to 5 on the weekends, on the opening weekend and the closing weekend will be open. And then from 12 to 5 every day will be open. And opening means there's a full floor of events that includes an exhibition of Voices of the Past, of Roberta's curation of the artists that are being represented. All the cultural organizations that are partners are being represented with materials, with their histories. There's a community artist project taking place. All of that's going on the sixth floor of the 220 building on Northwest 2nd. It's a secure space, which was not our original space. We wanted to do it at the Palm Hotel, but it just proved to be too challenging for security. So we moved it to the 220 building. Then throughout the week, there's specific programming. So you can find all that programming on vanportmosaic.org under Coming Home. But on Saturday, we have an opening event called From Nana to Now. So we're bringing the voices of people that remember what it was like when we lived in proximity to each other. And these communities are not only the Chinese and the Japanese, but the Greek, the African-American, the Jewish-American. We're all part of the community, the Roma community. We're all part of this area called Historic Old Town. So we just want to really make sure that people understand the history that they don't know. Many people don't know. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's a full week of events. And Roberta, I saw that you posted about 27 artists that you curated for this. As a longtime, you know, veteran curator from the IFCC, who did you get, you know, how did you decide who you wanted to include? Or did you just include everyone?
No, I mean, through working at IFCC, I came across so many talented people, and I did include many of them here. We'll have work by Rick Bartow as a courtesy of Froelich Gallery, and we'll have Marie Watt as a courtesy of PDX Contemporary. And foremost, I wanted to include Indigenous artists because they are the first artists that need to be acknowledged and given space. I would have loved to have the time to curate works that I know that are out there, but maybe more far removed from my reach here locally. So, but it includes work by Susana Santos, who's done some magnificent paintings. But what I'll have from her is a print that she's created called Dog Soldiers. Again, dog soldiers being the ones who went out first to encounter the enemy. And then we'll have work by Joe Cantrell as well and Lillian Pitt. So again, very appreciative to have them all together and shown within the context of the other community members, because usually having multicultural artists in one space is not common as it was in IFCC days. So we have, again, a number of Asian artists, both Japanese and Chinese community, also artists from the Jewish community. And we have some artists that are passed on, but will be represented as well. So we'll have Tom Stephanopoulos and Bill Pappas's work available for people to see. Willa Schneeberg and Bonnie Meltzer will be among them. And among our Asian artists, again, we'll have Robert Dozono, Ikana Taka Ikeda, and past works by Rose Naguma, who's someone who was part of our community but no longer with us as well, and Rich Iwasaki, who's an active member with the Japanese American community, documenting a lot of the activities. So we'll have some of his work available. And so, again, just a wonderful opportunity to be in the same space together.
It sounds very multicultural, and it does remind me of IFCC days, you know, with that inclusion. So good for you. I'm glad you're still doing this work. It's amazing. I also want to talk to you about, Giselle, about the partnership with Oregon Black Pioneers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So we have about 6 or 7 partnering organizations, and the Oregon Black Pioneers is one of those organizations. So they'll be leading a tour, and they'll also have a community room, so all of their resources will be there. We have some banner stands that we've accessed through them about the railroads, because the railroads were very important back in the day, right? And we wanted to represent the work that they're doing today. They are pretty much a virtual museum, but we'd love to see them be a brick and mortar museum in this area. So that's just one of the many partners: the Jewish Museum, the Hellenic or Greek Cultural Center, Portland Chinatown Museum, Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association will have some information, the Japanese American Museum of Oregon, the Oregon Historical Society. We also have some information about from the Architectural Heritage Center of Oregon and Restore Oregon. These are organizations who have fought to maintain the integrity of the historical buildings in Old Town that are very important that we've worked with throughout the years. I think that a lot of people don't realize, back to the Oregon Black Pioneers, that the first Albino was on Broadway. And I think that history is very important to know, that the Golden West was one of the few hotels. There was a beauty shop. There was a church. That was the very beginning of the Black community in Portland. And that will all be represented by Oregon Black Pioneers, as well as their walking tour.
What do you both hope will happen because of this event? Because there's a whole social justice theme in this as well. Can you speak a little bit about that, Giselle? And I'll ask Roberta too.
Well, you know, we've had discussions and gatherings and kind of explorations about what could Old Town look like. I think that it needs to go beyond the conversation now. We are having one more very important gathering called Reimagining Old Town, which will be October 3rd from 4 to 6. Erica Nadel Campbell will be giving a little bit of her grandfather's vision of Old Town, and that was Bill Nadel, who is one of the leading leaders of Old Town in the past, and then her vision. And then we have about 5 or 6 other community activists that are going to talk about their vision for Old Town. So we'd like to see it go beyond this into the formation of a historic cultural district, one that's honored and one that can truly draw people to Portland. You know, we have the Japanese American Historical Plaza that, a lot of people know about the 100 cherry trees, but they don't realize that those cherry trees are there because of the Japanese American Historical Plaza, which was the beginning of the Japanese American Museum of Oregon. So the history is extremely rich and should be honored. And that's, I think, really what we want to see moving forward, that it not be buried, not be forgotten, not be lost with some of the organizations that have had to leave in order to survive Old Town. But how can we keep this history alive and viable for the city of Portland?
Roberta, what would you like to see happening in Old Town?
Definitely more energy. And by bringing artists down here, artists always have their followings. And so we're hoping that through this show, it will bring new people down here that aren't where Old Town is normally not there in their path. And so they can see the neighborhood and experience it and see the energy of the people coming to attend and wanting to support again our vision to have it revitalized. And all organizations in the foundations, again, I see the nonprofit organizations as the new foundation of Chinatown, and the activities they produce creates that energy and the synergy for something to happen. And there are efforts currently, you know, to try and pursue the path of creating a cultural district where we can perhaps bring in, access state dollars to help us as well. And so I do hope, the artists who contributes so much can help people feel what's needed.
Well, as longtime activists and artists and also community leaders, what drives you to keep doing this work, Giselle?
For me, it's making sure the American story is told completely. You know, much of our history is sidelined and not mainstreamed, not just our history, but our stories, our art, our plays, our, you know. And so we're a vital part of what America is, and we're a vital root to what set the ground for other immigrants to come to Oregon, to come to America. So I think there's plenty of room to, you know, keep the stories of Old Town. You know, once you lose place, this is what's most important. This was the place we were. This is not something we're making up. This is the historical place where people came, where our grandparents and our great-grandparents fought and lived and survived. And so I think that's really of the utmost importance, that these stories be not just told, but incorporated into the fabric of the American history.
Roberta, what drives you as an artist and, you know, social activist, combining art with that? What drives you?
In part, it's opportunity. If there's an opportunity to speak and know you'll be listened or heard, I think you have to speak. And with this opportunity that Giselle presented to share an aspect of coming home with the artists that I've collected, again, it's to show this contemporary context of this issue. It's not historical. It's not all in the past. It's present as well. And naming the art exhibit, The Indelible Spirit. And I wanted to underline the fact that we cannot be erased. The spirit that the artists bring us is ongoing, and is the spirit of the past as well as, again, the spirit that probably motivates a lot of these artists to continue and survive and surpass all these issues of exclusion and repression and thrive, hopefully, out of this condition.
Well, and Giselle, you've done a great job also of putting together, you know, a lot of community leaders to be part of this too, this whole project. So it isn't, you know, just one or two different communities. There's like so many that you have talked about, but also have included. I'm wondering, is there anything else you want to tell us about the Coming Home Project, Giselle?
We're just so excited to be offering it to Portland. And I just want to encourage people, you know, Old Town right now has the reputation that we shouldn't go to Old Town, that it's not safe. And some of that is legitimate. Some of it is the degradation that's happened over the choices that have been made about what's honored, what's kept. But if we don't come there and we don't activate the area, if we stay away, I think, you know, it's going to go down the road of many other areas that have been swooped up by real estate, lower real estate costs, and not valued for the historic impact that we have. So I just want to say to Portlanders, come to Old Town. This is all free. We've created a very safe and welcoming and, I think, creative environment for people to come to. So it's going to be a wonderful week. I'm excited. I hope everybody will come join us.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that is the theme. If you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? And it will disappear. And all that history will also disappear with it. And to me, that's very sad. You both spoke of so many people that once thrived there, that lived there, you know, and had businesses and found ways to support themselves. And then it just seemed like there was, like, you know, one thing after another trying to erase it. And this is, I don't want to say, Giselle and Roberta, do you think this is, like, I don't want to say the last chance, but it's almost like it's so imperative. There's a need right now.
It's very imperative. And I think the timing is very important. We've been at this for a while. This is not a new effort by any means. But when you have major institutions that are kind of the anchor organizations, like U of O that was there in the former Norcrest building that the NATOs ran, when you have the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, need to pull out. These are major organizations that were rooting down a lot of what was happening in Old Town. I do have to, though, lift up some of the newer organizations and businesses that are coming up that have maintained and decided to stay no matter what. Goody's Snack Shop, the coffee shop, Deadstock Coffee. There's another effort in the Imperial Hotel area called Creative Homies. I think Cyrus and his partner are really building some amazing possibilities of programming. So the elements are there. I think we just need to really come together. And this is could be one of the best examples of multicultural communities working together.
When you said that, just I was picturing a garden. Yeah, there's trees, there's shrubs, there's new sprouts coming all over the place, right? And so we just have to tend that garden. And I think this is one of the ways to do that for both of you. So thank you both, Giselle Hata.
Thank you.
And Roberta Wong for joining me today. Any last words before we go?
I just want to say there's so many artists, I couldn't name them all, but Richard Brown, Adrian Cruz, Alex Chu, Ellen George. There's just so many wonderful people to come see and exchange time with. We'll have a Meet the Artist on October 1st. I hope people will come down. And they'll do an informal artist talk.
What time is that at?
That'll be 3 to 5 p.m. on Tuesday. So please join us.
Everything's on the sixth floor of the 220. We're calling it the Coming Home Hub. The Commons is there. The exhibit is there. The voices of the past, the artists of today, all of the organizations, cultural institutions have displays, information. There's a community artist project. All the programming will take place in the Community Commons area, which is also on the sixth floor. So it's all centrally located in that 220 building. It's a safe, wonderful spot for us to have landed. And there's an elevator. There is an elevator. In fact, that's the only way you can get there is by an elevator.
Yeah, I like that. It makes it even more accessible, you know? So that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the bathrooms are right around the corner.
Well, it's home, right? You're coming home, so you want to feel home.
It's coming home. And so please go on the VanportMosaic.org website. All the activities, all the programming is listed. You can sign up. You can sign up for updates. You can sign up to register for any of those. Everything is free to the public.
Thank you, Giselle Hata and Roberta Wong, for taking the time to talk today and for your great work. You know, kudos to you.
Thank you.
Coming Home events are September 25th through October 5th in Portland's historic Old Town at the 220 building. You can find out where that is and get a full schedule of all events that are free at VanportMosaic.org. And I'll also post that info at stageandstudio.org and orartswatch.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. To the next conversation, I'm Dimela Roberts.